it's Pamela from Pine Hill. You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear from Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show on WGXC and the Raven Sings the Blues music blog. And he's putting on the Deep in the Valley Festival this weekend, Saturday, in Red Hook. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Turn out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others, Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alaysia, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that Greenville Town Board member Joel Roth has resigned. Town Supervisor Paul Macko read Roth's letter of resignation during the August 15th Town Board meeting. Quote, I am tendering my resignation as a member of the town board, unquote, Ralph wrote. Quote, I am no longer eligible to fulfill my duties as my residency is no longer in the town of Greenville, unquote. Ralph was last reelected to a four-year term in 2019. Ralph said in his letter, quote, it is my wish that the board continues with the firm belief that the town is a great treasure and that the residents want to preserve the beauty that attracts the people that continue to live and prosper in our small town, unquote. The board unanimously accepted Ralph's resignation, quote, with regret, unquote. Macko said, quote, if anybody knows anybody or can give us some names, we will be filling a vacancy, unquote, the supervisor said. The board will next seek to appoint a replacement, but probably not at its September 19th meeting. There are four remaining members of the town board. In addition to Macko, the members are Richard Baer, Travis Richards, and John Benson. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Chris Bragg reports for the Times Union that New York State Senate Republicans are paying a $200,000 settlement to close an inquiry into the party's alleged abuse of a campaign account. The State Board of Elections could have levied fines and penalties for more than $2 million after Republicans paid for a series of campaign-style mailers that advocated for the election of GOP candidates from a housekeeping bank account. Under state election law, housekeeping bank accounts can only be used to pay bills rather than advocate for candidates. Senate Republicans argued the legal theory of State Board of Elections Enforcement Counsel Michael L. Johnson in prosecuting the case contradicted a formal opinion authored by the State Board of Elections in 2013. Losing $200,000 should hurt Senate Republicans during this current election season, as they are already behind Senate Democrats in campaign fundraising. Still, they downplayed the settlement. Kathy Delgado, a Senate Republican spokesperson, said, and I quote, the agreement with the Board of Elections Enforcement Council relates to years-old campaign activity that took place long before the current leadership took charge of the campaign committee. While we believe our committee has consistently complied with New York election laws, avoiding a costly and protracted legal effort is the most responsible path forward, end quote. You can read the full story in the Times Union.
Rick Carlin reports for the Times Union that Massachusetts transportation officials and lawmakers are pushing Amtrak to start a regular Boston to Albany train schedule. According to a request filed by the Massachusetts Department of Transportation with the Federal Railroad Administration, Amtrak could run three trains per day from Albany to Boston and back. The line currently runs one trip as part of its Lakeshore Limited service that runs west to Chicago. The Massachusetts legislature recently appropriated $275 million in bond funding for track corridor improvements on the line, in addition to the $50 million appropriated in 2020. Quote, this is a game changer for adding more rail service between Boston and Albany, unquote, said Gary Proffitt, president of the Empire State Passenger Association, which advocates for better rail service. Massachusetts Governor Charles Baker's administration last month filed a request for the Federal Railroad Administration to consider funding for the upgraded Boston-Albany run, which also would go through Springfield, Massachusetts. The New York State Department of Transportation supports Massachusetts' request for the Federal Rail Agency to consider funding the expansion of service, a department spokesperson said. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
The Poughkeepsie Journal tracks the differences between the two candidates currently vying for the 19th congressional district seat in voting that is ongoing through August 23rd. Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro and Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan are competing to fill the final weeks of Democrat Antonio Delgado's term after he left to become lieutenant governor. Molinaro and his campaign have said Ryan is, and I quote, lusting for power, end quote, and that he will, and I quote, rubber stamp, end quote, Democrat plans in Washington, while Ryan has called Molinaro a, and I quote, career politician, end quote, who lacks, and I quote, backbone, end quote. Ryan is also calling Molinaro a Republican, as many from the party supported an attempted coup of the government in 2021. Ryan wrote on his campaign website, and I quote, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I always perceived the greatest threat to be foreign, but it is clear with right-wing attacks on our democracy, women's health care, and our ability to keep guns off our streets, we must stand up to domestic extremists, end quote. Molinaro wants to distract district voters from that subject. He has been focusing on the economy. Molinaro wrote on his campaign website, and I quote, "As a responsible steward of local tax dollars, I invest in programs that provide a high rate of return and making government efficiency a priority. I will take the same mentality to Washington and fight to reduce the burden on the people of upstate," end quote. Abortion may be the largest issue in the campaign, as Ryan approves and Molinaro is opposed. But Molinaro claims he would not vote for a national ban on abortion. Voting continues this week at a limited number of locations in each county and expands to all locations on August 23rd. And you can read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Daily Freeman is reporting that Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation has received final approval to rebuild approximately 23 miles of electric transmission lines in Ulster and Greene counties, the utility announced. Approval of the project by state regulators followed a review process, public meetings and hearings, and meetings with property owners, the utility said in a press release. The transmission lines, named H and SB, are located within an abutting 23-mile corridor between Kingston and Catskill. The transmission lines slated to be rebuilt were originally constructed in 1928 and are nearing the end of their useful life. The utility argues they must be rebuilt. The lines will be reconstructed within the existing right-of-way in all but one area, the exception being a small section that will take a new route to avoid a large wetland. Most existing towers will be replaced by a streamlined and sturdy single pole made of Corten steel, which features a brown wood-like patina, the news release said. Central Hudson said the rebuild design will boost the line's capability from 69,000 to 115,000 volts. Construction will begin in September and is expected to be finished in 2026. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Soup that the ducks have been trucked away and the pond in the center of Greenville is empty. The lack of water is not just because of the drought, as town officials drain the remaining water to prepare for a dredging project. Councilman Richard Bear explained, and I quote, "Right now we are draining the pond down and going out for bids to have it dredged," end quote. Greenville officials are trying to eliminate the algae that has been overwhelming the pond in the center of town. The algae has been so bad this summer that residents have been bringing plastic kiddie pools to the park, filling them with fresh water for the ducks. Town Supervisor Paul Mako said, and I quote, "I'm hoping by the end of September or early October we can get this done. I suspect once the contractor starts working, it can be finished in about a week or so," end quote. Currently, the town is taking bids for the work. The pond empties into Basic Creek, so town officials are waiting for permits to do the dredging. Mako said the town is paying for the work with federal COVID money doled out by Greene County. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, sunny with a high near 87 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 62 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 89 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Friday, August 19th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. At 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, we'll hear from Andy French, WGXC programmer, who's also putting on the Deep in the Valley show in Dutchess County this weekend. We'll hear all about that festival that is on August 20th. 10 a.m., it's time for the Driftless Turmoil show in this week for Global Go-Go off on vacation. We'll hear tracks from Tom Carter, Royal Trucks, and Teenage Fan Club from 10 a.m. until noon. When it's time for the Sugar Shack Jukebox and Jared Wigashud to take over live from WGXC's Hudson Studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. Then at 6 p.m., we go live to Catskill. On Main Street there is the Clubhouse, and Clubhouse Radio with local teens telling their stories and playing their songs is on from 6 to 7 p.m. When teens from Hudson take over the airwaves at the Bound by Books show talking about what they've been reading. At 8 p.m. we go live to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with the bands Clover and Sundream performing. Turn out or tune in to a broadcast on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
American jazz legend Joe Morris is coming to Opus 40 Sunday, August 28th, performing there in Saugerties from 3 to 5 p.m. with Brandon Lopez also on the bill. Joe Morris is a renowned American jazz guitarist based in New York City. This is a rare chance for local audience to see him Sunday, August 28th at Opus 40 in Saugerties from 3 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where you can add your own events to have them read on the radio by pressing the Add an Event button, WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Acra or anytime at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, August 19th. I see 57 degrees in Lexington and 61 degrees in Tivoli early this morning. Soil is coming in at 67 degrees. Looks like it's starting to take a little dip. Cool morning gives way to a hot afternoon. A high of 88 happening around 3 p.m. Dew point of 60 for most of the day should keep it feeling comfortable, especially if you avoid direct sunlight. Overnight, it's windows open at about 11 p.m. and temperatures fall to 62 degrees by dawn on Saturday, which will have a high of 91 degrees, but there will be cloud cover and a chance for rain in the afternoon. Mid-60s again overnight takes us into a hot Sunday with a high of 87. In the afternoon, the chance for helpful rain comes back to the area and sticks around, giving us hopefully a stormy afternoon on Monday. Pollen levels for today will be medium high, getting worse over the weekend. The plants are going to do what they can with what little water they did get. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:02 a.m., high tide at 9:37 a.m., low tide again at 4:01 p.m. and high tide once again at 10:04 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 79 degrees, showing the start to a steady slide downward, possibly a sign of an early fall, But we still got to get through that hot weekend, so stay tuned. Sunset today will be at 7:38 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:04 a.m. The weekend, Rip Van Winkle Sandbar times are not great. On Saturday, it's only going to be from 4:30 to 5:30. And again, from 4:20 to 5:50 p.m. Now, you're still going to have underwater hazards, but the reason it's so short is because the dip in the river is not going to be as low as it was last week. Consequently, the tide coefficient is going to be low, so paddling will be easy. Anybody out there that, you know, has a hard time or just wants to be lazy paddling on the river, this is going to be your weekend for it. And on Sunday, that sandbar returns 5:50 to 7 a.m. and again 5 p.m. to 6:45. Now, keep in mind, there won't be very much sand showing, maybe an inch or two if it does, because the low just won't be as low. Okay, and looking way up, we see chances are still up for auroras reaching the States, even though the passing coronal mass ejection appears to be having a weaker impact than expected. Solar wind speed is currently 556.4 kilometers per second at 7.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently good enough for AM radio, but that's it till dark. Then things look okay for most frequencies. With the swirling plasma we're in, that could change at any time, though. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 5, storm level. The current sunspot number is 83. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Winter is coming.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Randall and Bernadette Martin of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare a emergency to exist.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to the January 6th hearings, which will finally determine the criminal culpability of former fake president Donald Jessica Trump. Now let's go to some behind-the-scenes DVD extras from his pre-recorded address to the nation on January 7th. Okay, whenever you're ready, sweetie.
And we are rolling. Everyone, please clear the set. We're rolling. Thank you. Okay, Mr. President, you're on in 5.
You got this, bitch.
3.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday.
Sing out, Louise!
But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say...
Just say you're a big fat loser.
My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Let's take that again.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me.
yesterday. Such a complicated word to say. When his dentures start to slip away, he's not okay with yesterday. Plain to see how he screwed with our democracy. Binging Big Macs while he watched TV. This just ain't on our history. When the votes came through, they were blue instead of red. So he said, if you staged a coup and went to bed, this guy.
Joined now by the man everyone's talking about, Attorney General Garland. Judy, seditious conspiracy, espionage, bad hair. What the hell is it going to take to nail this guy? No pressure.
The Justice Department has been doing the most wide-ranging investigation in its history.
Well, step on it, sis, because he's getting ready to announce, and we cannot let him be president again. I'm running out of show tunes.
The Justice Department has, from the beginning, been moving urgently to bring to justice everybody who's criminally responsible for interfering with the peaceful transfer of power.
We said, girl, time to go.
He said no.
That piece of trash. He cried, stop the steal, grab the wheel, and try to crash the country. Misery. On that awful January day, and Josh Hawley tried to join the fray.
What?
Tried to slam the awful GOP when they broke into his property for national security. He's done every crime, now it's time to crush this clown. Go and lock him up, or he'll flush this country down the toilet. Yesterday, please don't take us back to yesterday. Together, DOJ, and prosecute like yesterday. Lock him up like yesterday.
Please!
We will have the evidence.
Step on it, sis.
There's a madman from Manhattan, there with a man's hat and a floor mat made of satin. But this cat was not like this or that, but that which was aptly named for a man whose plan is a dime in a can downstairs for a dollar. If he can win the time with the dame, he ain't ashamed to holler. On the brink of a breakthrough.
swims under whiskey with her wings, and from the inside of a bottle with a shaft of light, she tells him with a song that it is not right. It's not right, it's not right. To her for long. He says madmen aren't born, they're cultivated. Calmed by the con men in the world the monks created. And then he calms himself. He tricks himself into thinking that he is right. It's not right, it's not right.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food. I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha? Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The Department of Justice has indicated they think that it will
reveal too many details about the scope of their investigation, and it may reveal those that are cooperating in the investigation or additional target.
Former U.S. Attorney and Executive Director of Right on Crime, Brett Tolman, on the FBI's search of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. A Florida judge on Thursday said he believes the affidavit used to justify the FBI's search of Mar-a-Lago should be partially released, and has given the Department of Justice 1 week to provide a redacted copy of the document. Alan Weisselberg, who worked for decades as chief financial officer of the Trump family business, pleaded guilty on Thursday to 15 counts ranging from grand larceny to tax fraud to falsifying business records. He was accused of dodging taxes on lavish fringe benefits he got from the company. White House and health industry officials say they're moving some manufacturing of the monkeypox vaccine to the U.S. in an effort to speedily get more doses to communities. The move comes after criticism that the Biden administration has been slow to secure adequate supply. Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra says the decision is part of a new phase of efforts to stop the virus.
We will also now surge and target vaccines and treatments when and where that can be most effective.
The Senate Leadership Fund, a political action committee associated with Senate Minority Leader and Republican Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell, is reportedly investing $28 million in radio and television ads in Ohio in support of Republican Senate candidate J.D. Vance, who has been endorsed by Trump. Here's Vance campaigning earlier this week.
Go to a steel mill and see how much natural gas they use, because you need high-quality natural gas to produce steel. That's true of nearly everything that is made in this country. It requires low-cost energy.
Vance is running against Democratic Representative Tim Ryan for retiring Republican Senator Rob Portman's seat. Former Ohio Democratic Party Chair David Pepper says state legislatures in states like Ohio are increasing their grip on power,
because they can pass law after law and never be held accountable because they've created districts that they can never lose.
Finally, the Biden administration's student loan repayment freeze is set to expire in 2 weeks. Activists like Lystra Small Clowden are calling on the president to permanently cancel loan debt.
Although I achieved my academic goals, my success was short-lived, because within my household, we have accumulated over $300,000 in student debt.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last year, the Wisconsin legislature, all hyped up on election fraud conspiracies, hired a retired Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gableman, to conduct a review of the 2020 election results. 14 months and $1 million with no fraud to show for it, Gableman's contract was terminated last week. In June 2021, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss held a press conference in which the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported him saying, "What we're after is fairness and honesty." What the voters of Wisconsin got was a big bill. Gableman was supposed to have wrapped up his probe by the end of December 2021, but in August 2021 outlined a $676,000 budget without an end date. In January 2022, the contract was extended to October 31st without having yet shared any results with the public. Gableman himself received $100,000 in salary, but also hired retired police detectives and outside lawyers to conduct interviews. Two Wisconsin mayors were threatened with being jailed earlier this year for refusing to sit for interviews with Gableman's team. Robin Voss, who just fought off a Trump-endorsed challenger in the Wisconsin primary, said he's asked for a report from Gableman by February 2023. A member of the Senate Elections Committee said of Gableman's termination, "It's about time." See links to the Journal Sentinel articles at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
And now we are joined by Andy French from the Raven Sings the Blues website, from the Crawlout from the Fallout radio show on WGXC. And he's also organizing the Deep in the Valley Festival. That's Saturday, August 20th at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. Andy, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Oh, I got to turn you down. You're coming in quite well. Now,
sorry.
That's all right. So tell listeners what, I guess, Raven Sings the Blues is first.
Sure. Yeah. Raven Sings the Blues is a daily music review website that I started back in 2006, a long time ago. And it used to be an MP3 blog back when that was an actual thing. Evolved over time into, like I said, more of a daily, you know, reviews, new music, things like that. And it mostly runs, in the world of psychedelic music, country, folk, things like that, some experimental jazz, things like that. A lot of the things that that get tied together through kind of a spirit of experimentation.
And then you do a radio show on WGXC?
I do. I do a radio show that's kind of a reflection of what I find each month that reflects a lot of that same, those same ideas, but I often try to run it into kind of like a mixtape format that brings all the things that I love each month, together into one 2-hour show.
And then finally, tell us, what is Deep in the Valley?
Yeah. So Deep in the Valley, I started this year. Well, it's going to be the inaugural year of it. Mostly because I had a lot of the bands that I would feature who just never seemed like they were bound for, the kind of festival slot. They weren't going to be in the small print. And it's the idea was to get people who wanted to, again, experiment with music and have kind of a deeper experience. The idea is to have it be a small crowd. It's not going to be much more than 140 people on the farm out there. And the idea is that you can have none of the craziness and excessiveness of a festival, but still kind of that deep connection to music.
And there are a few tickets left.
You've got a handful left. That's so true. Yeah.
Tell where is the website that people can go for more information as we talk about this?
Sure. You can go to ravensingstheblues.com/valley and that'll have the ticket information right there.
And if you are a regular listener to WGXC for a long time, you've probably heard a lot of the bands that are playing. We did a show with Laraji on Roundtop a couple years ago. And boy, Matt Valentine has probably played more, is on the list of probably played more shows than, but mostly back in the old days with Erica or, and we even did PSI shows. I don't know if you know PSI before Chris Forsythe's early band. They just, I guess, had a reunion a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he just re-released a lot of that early material. So now it's finally available digitally too. So I remember his old stuff.
Yeah, so we did shows with him back in Brooklyn a long, long time ago. But if people don't know those bands, what do they sound like? Or what? Because they're all a little different. What is the common thread, I guess?
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, the common thread is that everybody will kind of expand upon, what an album experience would be. I mean, Laraji is, comes from the new age is what he often gets connected with, but he was an Eno collaborator. He has done things as, far reaching as zither to more staid, piano compositions, which he's been doing lately. But he's also a practitioner of, laughing meditation. So he's kind of a guy that really encompasses, the broad spirit of what it is to find, connection through music. And then Chris, like you said, Chris has been doing kind of the, heavy television, almost, edged guitar kind of stuff, Robert Quinn guitar, and he's going to play. The thing that's kind of exciting about this is that he's not going to play, even though he has an album just around the corner, he's going to do a one-time trio with Ryan Jewell, who he plays with a lot, and Bill Nace, and they're going to do a one-time trio setup, just for that. What Tuna hits a lot of, like, the heavy dub vibes. A lot of stuff they do is kind of run through like a big kind of wet gooey filter, and that's fun. Jeffrey Alexander, and if he's from the band Dire Wolves, has done stuff for years with Iditarod and things like that way back. He's got a new band called the Heavy Litters, which actually has two members of one of the other bands, Elkhorn, as his rhythm section, and they're going to play also with Ashley Paul, who is also on the festival. So the idea is kind of like a lot of this collaboration. So she's going to play sax on their set. So again, it'll be the kind of thing that doesn't exist in their recordings, but will exist, in the live setting. And I really like a lot of that.
It seems like one thing that the bands have in common is a lot of them are, I don't know if I want to say misrepresented, but like you said, Laraji is sometimes called New Age. I don't know if he wants to be called New Age. Maybe some of these bands are compared to the Grateful Dead. Maybe they don't all want to be compared to the Grateful. You know, so there's like, you're hard to grasp what they are. You know, they're not just simple country band or simple reggae band. They're a little bit of everything, you know,
They're very omnivorous, you know, bands. They definitely don't stick to one genre. And I like that, you know, for the festival. I like the idea that, it doesn't have to be one thing. You don't have to go in with those expectations, you know. And, you know, and also with the idea that so many of them are, you know, kind of familiar and have done things with each other. The fact that there are some people, you know, Ryan, you know, is going to play with Chris, but he's also going to end up sitting in with Elkhorn. So a lot of them are, you know, they're very, the idea of collaboration is big in the festival.
And tell us a little bit about the venue, the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. I have not been there before.
From the Ground Brewery, it's on the Migarelli Farm, which is an orchard in Red Hook. And it's a, you know, a small structure that is a, you know, a farm brewery. And as far as I know, they use a lot of, you know, the ingredients from the surrounding areas in their actual brewing process. You know, it's a nice little spot that, like you said, it's not one of like the, you know, real names that comes to mind a lot of times when you think of breweries around here. But he's got a really great, you know, beer program going and a nice spot that's, you know, on the farm. A lot of land out there, and you know, we'll be able to spread out and have some tents and things like that, and make it kind of a nice, relaxed day. You can bring a family, you know, can hang out. It's not going to be, you know, the craziness, I think, of some other type of festival situations.
Yeah, I guess I recognize it more from the Migarelli brand. I think they have apple juice and apples in like all the local stores.
Yeah, so this actually sits on the farm. So they lease the plot that they use, which is like right inside the second driveway of the farm, you know, away from the orchards. It's down by, like, they've got a little pond and then the big, you know, field that we're going to do stuff out in.
And it's an outdoor show, and that's still something to remark upon, I guess, since the pandemic is apparently never ending. But it's a safer show than, I mean, a lot of bands have announced tours, started tours, and then canceled tours because one member got COVID, and it's happened over and over again. But these outdoor shows are a bit safer for that.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that, you know, people can spread out, not have to be packed in. You know, even the area where there's, you know, serving alcohol is still it's still open. So, you know, even that is not necessarily like a building that people have to be in if there's concerns about that. You know, the idea is to keep everything as safe and open as possible.
All right. Again, we're speaking with Andy French about the Deep in the Valley Festival that is this Saturday, August 20th. Andy, why don't you give out the website information one more time if people want to get a ticket at the last minute?
Sure, yeah. We've got a handful left. And the website is ravensingstheblues.com/valley.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. And we'll be tuning in next month on the second Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Next, we head up to Vermont to hear the Wet Tuna Project from Matt Valentine. This is a 2022 track from the Wet Tuna album Warping All By Yourself. The song is called Sweet Chump Change.